So, Father God, we do ask that you continue to pour out your grace to us as we reflect on our first Bible reading and faithfulness now. Amen. Well, please do be seated. So we're going to be thinking about our reading in 2 Timothy this morning, which was on page 1195. Well, some of you were here 2 weeks ago on that rather miserable, drizzly day, a Saturday, when we had the church barbecue. But before we had the church barbecue, there was a wedding going on here. Wedding for a young couple called Amy and Mark. And Amy and Mark, they looked wonderful in their wedding outfits. As I say, some of you were here singing in the choir, but right here they made promises to each other. Promises not only to each other, but promises made in the presence of Almighty God and a load of witnesses. Wedding vows are solemn promises, aren't they? They're serious vows declaring loyalty and faithfulness. Because the couple are saying to one another, you are the one I'm promising to be with for life. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, I will be loyal and faithful to you. So we do pray for Amy and Mark as they embark on the great adventure of marriage. And we pray for God's grace to enable them to keep those awesome promises. So today in our series on the fruit of the Spirit, we come to faithfulness, which we can also think of as loyalty. And don't we just treasure the friend that we have who proves themselves to be reliable? Someone we can depend on. I hope you have at least one friend like that. As I say, we're focusing on our first Bible reading this morning from 2 Timothy. And in it we discover that the Apostle Paul had many friends and many co-workers. But some turned out to be more faithful than others. So, for example, we hear about a man called Onesiphorus. We had great fun, by the way, at the first service pronouncing all these names as a congregation. I don't think I'll inflict it on you. Onesiphorus and his household. Onesiphorus, he turned out to be an extremely loyal friend to Paul, and that is good. But then we hear about these other two chaps. They have not remained faithful, they have abandoned Paul. Phygelius, I've practiced all this morning, and Hermogenes. Faithfulness to friends is, of course, very important. But there's an even more important issue going on in these verses, and that is faithfulness to the Lord Jesus and his gospel. And I think that is what upsets Paul the most. Because it's one thing to see some of your friends desert you, but if they're deserting Paul and he is in chains because of the Christian faith, it means they're deserting Jesus. They're not remaining faithful to the gospel. And indeed, the whole thrust of this letter to Timothy is, well, Paul's urging Timothy right the way through it to stay faithful to the gospel of Jesus. But let's start by taking a look at this faithful chap, Onesiphorus. What did he do that made him such a loyal friend? Well, if we look at verse 16, we see that he often refreshed Paul. How did he do that? How did he refresh Paul? Well, we get two clues, I think. The first is in verse 16. We learn that Paul is in prison. He's in chains. Why is he in chains in prison? Well, he's been going around preaching the Christian faith. And this has got him into trouble. So there he is in prison. But his mate Onesiphorus is visiting him. I can imagine him coming along with some nice food to refresh him rather than Paul having to eat the prison gruel. So he's refreshing him physically. And I'm sure he's also there refreshing him mentally and spiritually. He's been encouraging Paul by simply sitting down and praying with him, talking to him, listening to him. And I'm sure he's been refreshing Paul by doing errands for him, taking messages, for example, providing Paul with letter writing material. But we also learn that way back, many years before, he had already been a great help, him and his family in Ephesus. That's what verse 18 tells us. But we can picture the scene, can't we? Paul is sitting there, looking a bit glum, chained to a wall. He's feeling really sad because he knows that there was a time when there were a number of good people on his side, like Hermogenes and Phygellus. And they had pledged their support to Paul in the gospel in years gone by. They'd said, you know, Paul, you can rely on us. We'll be there with you every step of the way as you build the church and preach the Christian message. But they turned out to be empty words. Because once Paul was arrested and put in prison, they abandoned him. So Paul is sad. But then people often make promises when things are going well. Keeping those promises when the going gets tough is what matters. And Jesus said that the going would get tough for his followers. So it was obviously too much for Phygellus and Hermogenes. Paul's chains were just too embarrassing. The stigma attached to associating with an inmate. They have deserted Paul. And therefore, they have deserted the gospel associated with Paul as well. But not good old Onesiphorus. No, he's remained faithful. And it must have cost him personally. He would have lost some social standing for associating with a prisoner. And you can picture him walking down the street on the way to the prison, facing sneers of neighbours, perhaps being spat at for associating with one of those Christians who's now locked up, for not following the Roman gods. So Onesiphorus, the picture we get of him is that of the faithful friend, one who is willing to go the extra mile, one who works hard even if it's inconvenient, one who is prepared to face insults for associating with a condemned man, one who is stubbornly loyal to the gospel of Jesus Christ and its servant Paul. You know, people like Onesiphorus are so refreshing to church leaders. There's probably not enough people like that, people who stand firm when the going gets tough. I remember hearing of a church plant that started back in the 1970s. It was all so exciting to begin with. 100 people left the mother church to go and plant a brand new church. But those early months, the excitement quickly wore off. They faced great difficulties. And so the early enthusiasm gave way to frustration. And one by one, people left and returned to Mother Church. It was so much easier to be a member back at Mother Church. And numbers began to wane. So regular attendance in this church plant kept shrinking. 100 became 80, 80 became 50, and finally the numbers went down to 30. But the 30 who remained were stubbornly loyal, like Onesiphorus. Gutsy, faithful Christians. They stuck it out, and you know what? It turned it round. The church began to grow, and grow, and grow. Many came to Christ, and soon there were hundreds worshipping there. Now that would not have happened if it were not for that loyal, faithful call. Could we show that level of faithfulness? I'll give you a different example of faithfulness under pressure. There's a very moving short film. It's about 20 minutes long, going around. It's called We Are All Rwandans. We showed it to the cypher group once. It's a true story. But you may remember in the early 90s in Rwanda, there was about 1 million people died in the awful conflict there. The Tutsis were against the Hutus. Well, a few years after the war finished, there was a secondary school called St. Joseph's. And despite the war having been over for years, a gang of Hutu extremists attacked. They started off by murdering the night watchman, and then it got even worse. 27 of the young students were forced into a classroom, and they were ordered to separate. The gang said, "We want to see the Tutsis on one side and the Hutus on the other." And the students said, "No, we are not going to separate from our friends." Those Hutu youngsters refused to save their own lives, and they stood in solidarity with their classmates. The first girl to lay down her life for her fellow students said, "We do not have Hutus or Tutsis here. We are all Rwandans." They shot her in the head. One by one, six more students were assassinated in front of the classroom, their classmates. Finally, frustrated, the attackers left, and as they left, they just threw grenades behind them into the classroom. The young people were left for dead, but most survived, although many were mutilated. But doesn't that show loyalty? On the other hand, take the case of a schoolboy a number of years ago who was being bullied for being a Christian. The sad thing there is two other pupils were also Christian. They saw it happening, it scared them, and so they ignored it. They did not stand up for their fellow Christian. They abandoned him. Being a faithful and loyal friend like Onesiphorus can lead to hardship and suffering, but Jesus calls us to be faithful. And he promises to help us be faithful. Faithfulness is all part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus was faithful to us, even to death, he calls us to be faithful. And as we see in verse 14, he promises that we will have the help of the Spirit. So let me read verse 13 and 14 again. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." He goes on in chapter 2. "You then, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men and women who will be qualified to teach others." Standing for Christian truth can be difficult, but that's what it means to be faithful to God. In the early centuries, many were killed, weren't they, for being Christian and for standing up for their faith. Christians were thrown to the lions. And then at the Reformation, William Tyndale was executed simply for translating the Bible into English. Even today, in the Anglican Church in the United States, congregations have been thrown out of their buildings for defending the truths of the gospel. Later on in this letter of 2 Timothy, Paul says, "Look, a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears are eager to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth." Faithfulness to Jesus, though, means being faithful to the gospel, the authentic gospel, the original that we have in the Bible. But unfortunately, today many people don't like the gospel message. It's not politically correct. They find it offensive. So just the other week even, in the United Kingdom, there's a Christian union in a college, and it's been banned. The college authorities obviously don't want the Christian message spread. And they're using the government legislation against extremism to justify their action. And we can hear it that today people who stand up for the gospel are called intolerant bigots, homophobes, deranged, unscientific, much worse. So sometimes it's difficult to be truly faithful to Jesus and the gospel. How we do need the help of the Spirit. This is Paul's charge to Timothy then. Guard the good deposit, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is to guard it and we're to guard it because this contains the words of eternal life. And Timothy's to entrust this to reliable people who will be qualified to teach it faithfully, to not distort it. Because we'll always be faced with the temptation to water it down, to change the gospel to be more politically correct. And that might protect us here and now. But in the end, it will be no good because teaching a different gospel will not bring salvation to anyone. No, we're charged to guard the orthodox teaching of the Bible. And by doing that, then we will prove ourselves to be loyal and faithful. So it's important to know the truth and to spot error. And I do encourage you again, if you're not already in one of our small groups that look at the Bible, well, do consider joining one. An opportunity to grow as Christians as we look deep into the Word of God, but also to become more equipped to guard this precious commodity, the good deposit that has been entrusted to us. So today we see two different types of people. And when things were going well, you couldn't tell them apart. Phygellus, Hermogenes and Onesiphorus, they were all there with Paul in the beginning, all saying we're committed Christians. But when Paul was imprisoned, well, things changed. When hard times came, when being a Bible-believing Christian was suddenly embarrassing, it was only Onesiphorus who was faithful. Paul makes it quite clear that such faithfulness comes with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So may we prove to be those who are faithful and reliable. May we keep this pattern of sound teaching and guard the good deposit that's been entrusted to us. Let's pray, shall we? We thank you, Lord, for people who have shown faithfulness to us. We thank you for our reliable friends. May we be reliable in return to them. But most of all, may we be reliable and faithful to the Lord Jesus and his gospel. Amen.